So Dan, I mean, this is like a weird time now because the Islanders ended almost 2 weeks ago now. So it's usually we're used to having like over 2 months to speculate about trades in the draft. Now it's about 6 weeks. So hopefully we'll hear some contract news soon about some of these impending unrestricted free agents.
Yeah, it would be nice if we can get a couple guys locked up ahead of time. I most notably probably Laner and Lee. I would think those two are the most likely, I would suppose. Although you never know in any of the situations. But it seems like those two would probably be the most likely. So it would be nice if they can get those guys done before the draft. And we'll start talking about the draft in a couple weeks too. So we'll have to. That'll probably be our next big thing is a draft preview, but until then, it's kind of just speculation.
Yeah, so of course, the two priorities are Lee and Leonard, and of course the Islanders right now are, according to Elliot Friedman, negotiating with Brock Nelson.
Well,
Which
no, I mean, you might want to bring him back as well too. Although I think I've changed my stance on him. Although I wanted him back as a third line center, but now I'm kind of realizing I don't think you can pay a third line center $6 million a year.
no, I it's
I mean, you can,
I
but
mean, you
in this day
can.
and
I
age,
mean,
you can.
they have them. I mean, that being said, if you do that, you better make sure you get Duchesne as your second line center.
Oh, yeah, yes. If you're bringing Nelson back, he can't be the 2C. I understand. I think
No.
we all understand that.
Right. I mean, because personally, I don't think this would be a successful offseason if they just re-signed all their UFAs.
Right. If they even re-signed three of them and they don't really add, then no, it's not. And
No.
Lou knows that. Lou's been
No,
very public.
of course.
He said, it was his job at the deadline to try and make the team better, and he didn't, and he owns that.
Right, and Trotz also on the exit day, basically saying that they need more pop. So
Right.
this will get done. It's
And people
some.
who act like Trotz is this defensive coach, yes, he is. But I mean, he changed his system to match his roster, which is what a great coach does. I mean, this guy coached Alex Ovechkin for quite a long time, and
Right.
Kuznetsov, and Backstrom, and Carlson. He's used to having skill.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm not really concerned about that, but I am concerned about bringing in some of these guys. One thing that we both have
Hey,
been.
well, not to interrupt, but John, they just showed John Ledecky at the Yankee game.
Oh yeah, he's with Mariano Rivera. I see it right
Yep.
here. Yeah, he's probably yeah.
Okay, sorry.
I mean he's a
We're both
great.
watching the same thing as we record this.
Yeah, he's a great PR guy, John Ledecky. You
He
know
is, but
that.
he's not the owner. It's Malkin's the owner.
Yeah, I mean he's the mouthpiece, and basically Malkin is the guy who runs the team. But
Right.
that being said, these all these unrestricted free agents that the Islanders could sign, usually it comes down to money, of course. But
Sure.
and the talk was that Belmont was supposed to happen mid-June. You tweeted that out. You got a couple sources. I was told maybe now it
Well,
could
no,
be.
it's no big secret. It's public. It was public. Now, I didn't tweet mid-June. I just tweeted after the Belmont. There's usually more of a racing season at Belmont Stakes. They've moved that the remainder of the Belmont races to Saratoga. And that's actually public knowledge that came from like the New York Board of Racing or whatever.
Right. So then, which
So
would
that's just to
be.
accommodate them for the groundbreaking, which will happen soon after that. So.
Okay. So I think that's pretty key. Because I know all these contracts usually come down to money, but if the money's close,
They do. They do.
you basically want to know where you're going to play.
Right.
I
But
think.
that another thing too. But I don't think it has that big of a deal when it comes down to it, because look, if the original plan was to have shovels in the ground in May and they're in the ground in the middle of July, that's really not that big of a delay, is it?
No, it's not a delay, but I mean, it could
It's not going
factor.
to keep anyone from signing. It's not going to keep anyone from signing here. Players care about money and term. That's all they care about.
No, but I totally understand that. But when contracts are pretty comparable, you look at the
Yeah.
intangibles and all the variables. So maybe it
Sure.
has 2%, a factor. So
Yes, but I think Lamoriello and Trotz outweigh not having shovels in the ground.
I certainly hope so. I certainly hope so. I mean, of the big three guys, I guess Panarin, Duchesne, Skinner. I think Panarin comes down to the Rangers, Panthers, and Islanders. Those three.
I do too. Yep, I do too.
Skinner. I mean, I could say the Sabres are still obviously involved. I'm sure the Islanders are definitely going to kick the tires on him. I don't know who else. I mean, I'm sure there'll be a couple other teams you know, vying for his services.
And Duchesne sounds like Nashville, Columbus, and, you know, those two seem like legitimate.
Right, and possibly
legitimate, you know, options. Right. But although Nashville has to move Subban if they want Duchesne.
Yeah, and I don't want any part of that at all.
Any part of what?
Subban. I'm just saying if he's available.
I would take Subban in a heartbeat if they retain salary.
Well, the defense is not their problem. They need forwards.
No, I know that. I understand that. But they also, you know, they also need more puck-moving defensemen too. So
they
if
do.
You move if you move Letty and you bring, if you move Letty for a center and bring in Subban, I would take that in a heartbeat.
Well,
but I don't think he's going to the Islanders. It's irrelevant. But I'm just saying. Of course, if he's on the market, you kick the tires and see what the cost is.
Well, if Letty's, you know, being traded for a forward, you know, slash center, that's a whole different story. Then you need to replace him. But
so I'm just saying, if a player of that caliber, a Norris defenseman winning the D-man is on the market, you call and ask what the price is.
Yeah, I mean, because Nashville has other guys coming. I think Yossi's a free agent after next year, I believe.
Yeah, that's gonna be tough because he's no spring chicken, and they're gonna have to resign him. That's a very similar decision to what the Islanders are going through with Lee right now. Like, how will Yossi be in 4 years?
Right, and
he deserved his money. He took a team friendly deal for his last contract.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You definitely want to try to keep those defensemen intact because their window is kind of shrinking.
Hey, will Erik Karlsson hit the market? We don't know.
Yeah, that's a tough one too. I guess it all depends on what the Sharks do this year, how they finish.
I mean, I don't know. You think they would have had that deal done by now if he was staying? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. He'd be interesting.
I still think Pavelski goes back there, but I'm not sure about Karlsson. If he hits the market, you know. That's another guy you obviously kicked the tires on as well.
Yeah, well, how much was Joe Thornton making this year?
Not much. Maybe two.
Two? Okay. I mean,
he took a very team-friendly one-year deal.
Right, because I think if they obviously win the Cup, I think he's going off in the sunset.
Probably.
Yeah, and even if they don't, I think he's probably done.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not safe. The Sharks don't have cap issues. They can afford Karlsson.
No, they can afford him. I'm sure Pavelski will give them like to stay, kind of a sweet.
Yeah, it's just interesting. You know, like I said, you know, yes, the Islanders don't need defensemen, but if a defenseman like that is available, you know, even if Karlsson is half the player he used to be, still a 55-60 point defenseman.
Yeah, I mean, he would end up being your leading scorer pretty much.
Yeah, I know, right? And you would think he would help a power play.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah.
I'm just saying that there are options. There are going to be options out there. There's, and as we play the speculation game, we do know who we think will be available. But there are going to be other guys that emerge as well.
Right.
And I think and there's also going to be guys in the trade market too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, going back to Duchesne, you know, you mentioned the Preds. I'm sure the Blue Jackets, and you know, the Islanders will be in on him as well. They've been rumored to be in on him for years now. It seems like. And he would be the perfect number two on this team. But that being said, if they re-sign Brock Nelson, it's going to be interesting to see what they do in the free agency.
Well, they can still afford him because they
absolutely
yet.
Can. But it's you're going to give him $6 million for, say, 5 years?
I don't know. I mean, it's a tough decision. They need two centers. So
right.
I don't know. And I don't love the idea of bringing Filippula back. He's great, but I kind of want to get a little faster, a little quicker. You know, like I said, if Nelson is your 3C, if you had Barzal, Duchesne, Nelson, and Cizikas, those are four of the best centers in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still in favor if they don't really get a number three, moving up Cizikas. I think he's shown that he can obviously score 20 goals.
Maybe because you have to think Clutterbuck's going to probably be out most of the year.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's what it's leaning towards, you know. So, I mean, the fourth line might be irrelevant next year. I don't know. Yeah. So there's going to be lots of decisions that you had there. But you can also find third line centers around. You can find somebody.
Yeah. That being said, how good is DJ LeMahieu?
He's very good. If we go back to it, we're both watching the Yankees right now.
And Luke Voit. Broke out of his nice slump today.
This team is crazy. I mean, you talk about a team that's, you know, obviously, it's just completely overachieving with guys. Some of the guys you've never even heard of. It's been pretty crazy. But back to the Isles for a second, if I may. I think there's gonna be a lot of options out there. And there's even guys like you know, Zuccarello could help the Islanders.
Yeah.
Nyquist, I think, helped. I think Nyquist would not be nearly as much money as some of these guys would cost, and he put up 60 points this year. So I think there's going to be guys available, and I also think there's going to be other teams that are going to aggressively be trading too, also set themselves up for the expansion draft in a couple of years. So you might be able to get someone and take on a contract or something. You know, there's going to be options for Lou. I don't expect to see what happened at the trade deadline to happen this summer. I think there are going to be acquisitions to be made.
Yeah, and I do think their first round pick is definitely in play at the draft.
I think it's in play, but I don't see it getting a ton.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you getting for the 24th pick? I mean, really.
No, I mean, it could be something in a possibly a Letty deal.
Yeah, maybe. In most cases, I mean, like, I know, like, well, Montour was traded to Buffalo for, like, you know, which was like the 19th or 20th pick.
Right.
So maybe someone like that, you know,
yeah.
that could help if it's out there. Obviously, Lou will do his due diligence, but I mean, I have no problem drafting at 24. There are a lot of good players available around there. It's an extremely good draft, and the organization needs centers and they also need goalies in the pipeline. So I'd have no problem drafting at 23, especially since they don't have a ton of picks this year.
Right.
Thanks to Garth.
Right. Yeah. Thanks to Garth. Yeah. Freaking Brendan Davidson. But that being said, they have all their picks for next year in case they want to offer sheet somebody, Dan.
Yeah, no, next topic. I'll talk about anything else but offer sheets with you.
Yeah.
It just makes me angry.
Yeah.
And also, what you guys don't realize is Noel texts me during the week. He'll randomly text me an upcoming RFA. It could be anyone random, like Kyle Connor. And he'd be like, hey, let's offer sheet him. And it just, he drives me. He knows how much it irritates me, and it's working.
Yeah, I have to find a couple good ones for tomorrow.
Yeah, he just randomly during the week will just text me, hey, let's offer sheet so-and-so. And it's like, oh,
but,
come on,
okay,
please.
But that being said, and all kidding aside, I wouldn't be surprised if they do Kasperi Kapanen on the Leafs, because that would be difficult for the Leafs to match.
Yeah, no. I think if anybody's gonna get offer sheet in the Leafs, I think it's gonna be Kapanen or Johansson.
Yeah, it's both guys.
Because you can offer those guys around $5 million to $6 million, and which is a little bit of an overpay, probably. I mean, you know, but they're probably worth in the high fours. You can offer them 5.5 to 6, and there's no way the Leafs could match those.
No, because Marner's contract is going to be close to what Matthews is getting, and it's
and it should be.
Yeah, he's a great player, absolutely.
Yeah.
But another guy, I mean, we kind of spoke about him before. I mean, not on the show, but just personally, me and you, Kevin Hayes, who, I mean, might be a guy the Islanders can
see. You're more high on him than I am, and if I've talked to Ranger fans and I've watched my share of Rangers games, he just seems like the Rangers version of Brock Nelson.
Right.
You know, Matt, very inconsistent, and you know, he gets his points, but he always wants you leaving a little bit more.
I think he's better.
He wasn't great in Winnipeg, but I mean, he's a good skater. He's a good size, but he's not very physical. You know, he could be an option. I don't want him as my number two center.
No, I mean, I'm not, you know, saying he should be. Like, if they sign Brock and they sign him, I think that's not really very successful. I think...
No, if you sign those two, you still don't have a number two center.
No, you don't. You really don't. I mean, if Nelson, you know, turns out to be too much money, you can bring in Hayes to be your third and possibly look to get possibly Duchesne. But this is what we talk about now in May. So we still have a month of all this talk, which is...
I know. Do we have any actual real Islanders news to report?
Actually, we do, Dan. That's a great lead-in.
Yes, I know. Thank you.
Yeah. So, Islander fans might not know the name, but Yannick Ratka, Swiss defenseman who was in Bridgeport this year. And
he was
on...
Okay, he was okay.
He was ATO last year. Got waived unconditionally. I'm sure it was by his request because... he only played about 32 games with the Sound Tigers, and guy had talent. I saw him play a few games, really nice guy as well. Problem was, Sound Tigers have a ton of defensive prospects in there. No one gets hurt. No one really got hurt with the Islanders. Only Taze came up. They had Aho, which basically should have been with the Islanders, Parker Weatherspoon, Mitchell Van de Sample, Kyle Burrows. So they have all these young defensemen, and they want to have a couple veteran guys in the lineup as well. That's why they have Seth Helgeson and eventually Chris Casto. So it just basically, there was really no spot for Yannick Ratka. And even
There wasn't a lot of room for him, unfortunately.
No, and he left.
The team did nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong. It's just, you know, he probably wants to get released and have an opportunity to go play somewhere else. And like I said, you take a chance on these guys, and if they work out, they work out. If not, you move on. It didn't cost him a ton.
Right, and he left before the playoffs, the Calder Cup playoffs, because he wanted to play with the Swiss national team in the World Championship. So once that happened, you knew kind of that his fate was sealed, and that's totally fine. Sure. But I shared a couple of things on Twitter, and it's kind of like the same old lazy narrative where European prospects just don't work well with the Islanders. They mentioned, obviously, Jan Kovacs. But you know what? Jan Kovacs didn't last in Providence or with the Bruins either. So he went, you know, Kirill Petrov, who surprisingly signed and came, didn't really work out either. But these guys should not be guaranteed NHL roster spots if they can't beat out NHL players.
No, you can't do that. You can't just can someone an NHL roster spot. That's my fear. Honestly, that's my fear of Sorokin. I don't want to just, if he ever comes over, I just don't want to say, hey, you're the backup goalie. No, you have to fucking earn that. Excuse my French.
Whoa.
But it really, you just can't give a guy a roster spot. You have to go in there and earn it. And if you're too good, if you're better than going down to the AHL for maybe 4 or 5 months, then I don't want you in my organization. I'm sorry. What's wrong with going to play in Bridgeport for 4 or 5 months? Many players have done it. Go live on the beach in Milford or Fairfield, which is one of the nicest places in New England to live, and go play in the AHL. And go earn your roster spot. Go earn your call-up. I don't want things handed to you. Just because you're great in the KHL doesn't mean you should get a roster spot and you're not above the AHL.
No, but, you know, we'll have, unfortunately, over a year to talk about this topic with him because, you know, he ain't coming this year.
I hate that. I hate that. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. You can't just give someone a roster spot.
No, definitely not.
Because we did that for – the Islanders did that for many years. They did. And how did that work out?
Yeah, they had to, pretty much. You know,
yeah, we're past that.
They're trying to reach cap floor for years.
Sorokin's numbers are fantastic. He's one of the best prospects in the KHL. But, I mean, there have been many other players and goalies in the KHL who had great numbers. Koskinen comes to mind.
Yeah.
Who come over to the NHL and suck. And I just don't like this. If I don't get a roster spot, I'm going to pout and go home. I just don't like that.
No, I mean, if Sorokin thinks he can play.
That's why I liked how they drafted Daniel. They drafted Ishikabov, but he's in college. I like that. If you're going to draft Russians, draft the ones that are in juniors and in college.
Yeah. I mean, it worked out, although they didn't play in college or here, but Sebastian Aho basically is doing well, flourishing in the minors. He was an all-star play here as well.
Yeah, he's been fine.
Yeah, and Otto Koivula, who came out of nowhere this year.
Yeah.
You know, struggled at the start, probably had to get, you know, acclimated to North American game. That's the problem. Some of these guys don't want to adjust. They just play they throw their hands up, I can't do this, and they run back to Europe. Otto Koivula did not do that.
Maybe they don't want to play 3 games in 3 nights either.
That's true. That's also another issue. But deal with it, you know? You're making the money.
Exactly. I don't care. You got to earn a roster. You got to earn the roster spot. I'm sorry. You have to do it. You have to win the job.
Yeah.
Look at Devontae's.
Right. Exactly. So the Sabres hired a new coach today, Ralph Krueger, who previously was with Edmonton. Another guy who potentially could get his first NHL coaching gig is Lane Lambert, who is, you know, just finished his first year with the Islanders, longtime Barry Trotz assistant. I guess he's going to interview in Anaheim. Good luck. Great guy. Hope he gets it. But then again, I hope he does it. Selfishly.
Yeah, obviously you want him on your bench. And look what he's done with Trotz over the course of the years. But, I mean, this guy's earned the interview. He's earned the right. And there's so many retreads around this league.
Yeah,
this league is so scared to hire guys who haven't been head coaches before. But when they do that, normally it works, i.e. John Cooper, Travis Green, just to name a few.
Yeah.
So it's like these guys have to get a start. I'm so tired of just recycling in, you know, guys who sucked for the Wild or sucked for the Blues or sucked for the Flyers. And it's like, go out of the box. Go look at the college ranks. Go look into the AHL. Go look into juniors. You'll find good coaches there. So I have no problem with Lane getting the interview, and I hope he gets a job. He deserves it.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he's been an assistant coach for years now. You can even look at, like, you know, Jared Bedard in Colorado, who's a really good coach. It's, the sport, more than any, it's just like Elaine Vigneault, Mike Yeo, all these guys, you just, you know, keeps seeing, it's like, enough already. Just give these guys chances, and if they don't work out, then you can bring back the retreads. But at least take a chance on these guys.
Yeah, it's difficult. And I mean, it is starting to trend more because the Rangers hired Quinn.
Yeah.
The Stars hired Montgomery, Colorado with Bednar, Travis Green. So you're seeing guys coming from other places. So hopefully that trend continues. Because there are plenty of coaches in the AHL, and there are plenty of coaches in college. They'll be fantastic NHL coaches.
Yeah, yeah. And I hope
I can think of like seven. I can think of seven off the top of my head.
Right. And this will probably contradict what we're just talking about, but I hope Scott Gordon does get another chance. Because, you know, when he had a somewhat...
he got sent down to the minors. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, and he I guess he cleared through waivers, you know, because no one claimed him. But, I mean, because when he coached the Islanders, that was pretty much an AHL roster anyway.
That was a disaster, and he had no idea what he was doing.
Yeah, but, you know, he did a great job.
I've heard some stories from that team, and that team absolutely hated him.
Yeah, he was like a deer.
Hated him. They had no idea what he was doing. He's obviously come a long way since then.
Yeah, you know, he did a good job the second half in Philly. And, I mean, they thought highly enough to keep him in the organization. They could have just, you know, said thank you.
Good for him.
Yeah. So, you know, if Elaine Vigneault doesn't work out in 2 years, I guess they can bring back up Scott Gordon. I guess it'll just have
to. And what's up with the Flyers having two other, like, former head coaches on their bench? How many head coaches do you need?
Yeah, I mean, it's I guess when there's a long losing streak, that's going to be brought up. I mean, what is it? It's Mike Yeo and what is it?
Michelle Therrien.
Therrien, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. But then again, I wouldn't mind having a former head coach run the power play for the Islanders right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but it's only so much your head coach can do, though. You need the personnel as well.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so this is another topic that we absolutely hate talking about, but we'll bring it up.
Yeah, but we have no choice.
Yeah, Islanders and politics, you know, because until there's a shovel in the ground at Belmont, this is going to be an ongoing issue. And the latest clown to throw his hat or his nose, big shoes and wig, whatever, into the ring is this guy, Bruce Blakeman. I guess he's a councilman for the 3rd District in somewhere on the island. And he sent out all these letters to residents. Mind you, this is not his district.
Then you know what? Shut up.
Yeah, exactly. So, but his whole thing, I'm not going to read the letter. It's on Twitter if you want to see it. But I do encourage all Islander fans to write this guy in a civil matter.
Just call.
I'll give the number out right now. If you want to call his office,
okay.
It's 516-812-3523. Say you're an Islander fan. Say you're for the arena in Belmont. And remember the last time the Islanders had issues with a politician?
Yeah.
She got voted out of office.
That's right.
Right? He's up for re-election this year. So just stay out of your lane. We're in favor of this. And just mind your business. Because the Coliseum
it's all the lies. If you read the letter,
it's
like,
careless.
You know, the rising crime.
Right.
The rising crime. And, you know, I drive these roads every day. There's already effing traffic on the Cross Island.
There's already
traffic on the Meadowbrook. There's already traffic on the Southern State.
Yeah, I mean, it's very careless letter. They're not building a mega mall there. I mean, come on.
They make it seem like they play every night. It's 40 to 60 events a year.
Right. Exactly. And the Coliseum
It's just so funny.
Right. And the Coliseum is not NHL caliber. Okay?
No, it's not.
It's not.
No, it's not.
But just, you know, write to him, call. Just be, you know, courteous and just tell them in a courteous way to stay in your lane, pretty much, you know, because anytime these politicians get involved, they look so foolish, and it's enough already. But we're going to keep talking about it until we actually see a shovel in the ground. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, but you have to, you know, think by mid-July that'll be fine, and then we'll be off and running again.
Yeah, let's hope.
And people can stop complaining about it. And the national media always use it as a very lazy narrative as well. So,
speaking of that, it's an Islander related. So it was TSN, I think it was. Had an article about a feature about Rob Brindamore in the city of Carolina.
Oh yeah, that was funny. Did you see my response to that?
No.
I put a couple. One of my response was because it said Rod Brendamore had seen the best and worst of this franchise. And I was like, bullshit. There's no way. I'm like, did Rod Brendamore see this franchise when Pierre Maguire was my head coach?
Yeah.
Or when Zarly Zalafsky was running a power play? Or Frank Pietrangelo, who literally had a hole in his glove, was playing goalie for the Whalers? I mean, no, come on. You have no idea. No idea.
I love the Zarly Zalafsky reference. That's great.
Thank you. Andrew Castles was this team's number one center for like 4 years.
Andrew Castles.
Jeez. Yes.
Oh, the glory days.
Oh, they were so bad. And it's very fitting. They should wear those Whalers jerseys, those jerks, because the entire 80s, those Whalers jerseys lost to the Bruins in the playoffs. So it would be very, very fitting.
Yeah, and it's ironic how the sweeps just keep on coming. I mean, okay, it's three games I know that potentially can come back, but Tuukka Rask is playing unbelievably, and they're not, you know, getting anything by him. And I think I deserve an apology because Peter Mrazek, although he didn't play last game, is back to being Peter Mrazek.
McElhinney, he's played well.
Yeah, he has.
They're not losing because of their goaltender. They're actually not losing because of their
goaltender. No, they're not.
The Bruins are just so much better.
He's so much better. I mean, he has let in a couple, you know, softy goals, but yeah.
And yeah, but the Bruins have just been so much better.
God damn it, I can't stand the Bruins. Just watching. I mean, some of their players I really respect. Then there's Brad Marchand. Oh, my God.
I know. I know. If he would just play – well, I've been kind of pro-Bruins because former Quinnipiac alumni Connor Clifton's on there, and he's been a beast.
Right.
So, I root for my school, so I've been pulling for him. Love to see him just name him the cup. But with that being said, I kind of want the Sharks or the Blues to win.
Yeah, it would be one of those two teams would be nice, you know.
Oh, how many if the Blues play the Bruins in the finals? What's the over under, and how many times we see that Gordie Howe goal? Not Gordie Howe, Bobby Orr.
Oh God, yeah, it's gonna be
at
ridiculous.
At least 400 times.
Right. Well, yeah, and then that being said, if it's Bruins Sharks, it's all gonna be Joe Thornton all the time.
Oh, Joe Thornton! I didn't even think of that storyline. My goodness.
God. So I mean, it's gonna be and both series will be really good, I think. But it's just like. Both those storylines are just going to be, but all right, after the break, both Dan and I are going to vent about a various number of topics.
That's a tease.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Dan. Okay, so Game of Thrones, we both watch.
Actually, this is the only thing I really wanted to talk about today.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll get to the thing I really wanted to talk about in a few minutes that broke today. So Game of Thrones, it's in the 8th season. The final episode's coming this Sunday. It's probably the last water cooler show with all these streaming shows now that release everything all at once. This is probably the last, like, water cooler show that everyone talks about the next day.
No, there's going to be a new Game of Thrones next year, remember? So.
Yeah, that's, prequels never work.
Yeah, but it's like 400 years in the past, so, I mean, it's a whole new world.
What's Jar Jar Binks going to be in this one, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So.
Well, I'm a little concerned because these guys are going to be doing the next Star Wars movies, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So we can get to that, later.
So yeah, everyone, you're getting a full nerd review here for the next 10 minutes.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, so I'll let you have the floor and I'll rebut.
Okay, overall, this season has not been great. It looks amazing. The cinematography is beautiful. The special effects are seamless. But the problem is it looks like a Michael Bay movie where it's just all flash and no substance. It's just the writing has been shaky at best. It seems rushed and it seems forced. Instead of doing 6 episodes, maybe spread it out a little bit more and do 10. I mean, characters just did not get the justice that they deserve. I mean, Jaime Lannister deserved a better fate. Trying to think of who else went out. Cersei, of course. That, like, the way she went out is just mind-blowing. It's like you have one of the greatest supervillains in recent television history, and she basically, you know, died in an industrial accident.
But she, you know what? She did nothing this season. She just stood
out. No, she was never on the show. And she was making $1 million an episode. So I know. For her. But it's the equivalent. Her dying that way is the equivalent of like Darth Vader tripping down the stairs and breaking his neck. I mean, it was just terrible. That's not the way you go out. It's just not the way you go out. I mean, Kylo Ren dying in a farming accident. That's what they, you know what I mean? It's just like, that's not the way the supervillain's supposed to go out.
No.
And it's just really irritating. It's like, yeah, I get the heel turn with Daenerys. I get all that. You kind of saw that coming. But also, that seemed forced and completely contradictive to the last 7 years of a character.
You know what? No, not really.
Because yes, no. Maybe at least plus 6 years. You know, what happened to her, you know, one justice for all and all that crap.
But no, but you kind of saw her, like, mean streak a few times throughout the years. I mean,
yeah, but it wasn't like that. And another thing, I have two more points.
Okay.
Then the floor is yours. can one dragon do that much damage?
Thank you.
Like, to stone walls? I mean, is that possible? And then the episode before, they had those scorpion like crossbows,
right,
that were basically like heat-seeking missiles, or getting a headshot from across the board in Call of Duty, like with a pistol. Like, they were just sniping dragons. And then the next episode, they can't hit the broadside of a barn, and they have like 100 of them, and they're all taken out by one dragon. Once again, I don't know. It looked amazing. It was just gorgeous and beautiful. And Arya is still alive, so that really, at the end of the day, it's all that matters, because she's the best character in the show. But it seems rushed. It's disappointing, and I feel like next week it'll be like after the last episode of Lost, I'm just going to be disgusted.
All right. Well, you know, the biggest problem, I think, and you mentioned a little bit of it, that they only did 6 episodes, so they were kind
of just too. It's rushed. It just seems rushed.
Right. And then for up until I think season 6, they took their time with everything. Basically, you spent 3 episodes with, you know, a character going 5 feet. And, you know, it was a big event when characters met. Here, it's...
Well, the thing, too, is they spent so long developing the Night King and Bran. Like, you know, the Night King and the Raven, the Night King and the Raven, the Night King and the Raven. And it's like, and then nothing happened with that. It's like the equivalent of, like, watching all the Marvel movies and then telling you that the Infinity Gauntlet doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, and from the episode 1 of season 1, we knew about the White Walkers. And the whole narrative of the show was the winter is coming, the winter is coming. So this one episode where I had no problem with the way it was shot because it was at night.
Oh, no, that was done intentionally.
I know, yeah, it was. I had no problem with that. I know a lot of people did.
That's what it's supposed to look like.
Right, I had no problem with that. The problem was it was just
one. I actually thought it was brilliant.
Right, exactly. Just one episode. It was over and done with. You knew it was episode 3, I believe. And then it's like episode 3, this is going to be done in one episode. They're going to move on to Cersei. And it's just like, okay, they tied it up with a bow. I had no problem with Arya killing the Night King. It just should have been.
No, that was good. Actually, I thought that episode was one of the better ones. That was a good episode. I still had some issues with that, but few and far between. I thought overall that was a really good episode.
No, I mean, you know, I liked, you know, Theon getting kind of his redemption.
I do too.
You know,
I thought they gave him, they gave him due diligence.
Right. The whole Bran thing, I mean, the whole episode, the finale could just be him 90 minutes staring at a tree. I don't care. It's enough already with him. It's just, they kind of just butchered that whole character. It's a shame. A couple other.
But they spent so much time with him and the Night King, and now it just means nothing.
Yeah, it means nothing. And it's just like, I don't even think he's a likable character anymore.
Daenerys was, and I was sick of her weeks ago. So if Jon Snow, you know, cuts her head off, I'm perfectly fine with
but,
that.
But I know a lot of people probably named their kid Daenerys is going to have issues with it now. But
suckers.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm naming my son Kramer.
That's good. Or George Costanza.
Yeah, exactly. Art Vandalay. But the highlight of last episode, I thought, was basically the Mountain and the Hound. That was tremendous.
Yes, that was good. That definitely was worth the price of admission.
That, and anytime you see Jaime and Tyrion together.
Oh, it was great, too. But the way Jaime went out by that, such an annoying little prick. Just really, Jaime deserved so much better than that.
It was also like they just didn't know what to do with him.
No, they didn't.
And, you know, the whole, like, Euron fight. If okay, at that point, you're going to go for a boat. Not basically, I love Cersei, you love Cersei. You get the boat and get the hell out of here. But no, they had a fight. And then Euron went to his grave thinking that he killed Jaime. Which, I mean, come on. That's kind of lame, too. I'm the man who killed Jaime Lannister.
It's just forced and rushed.
You know, but that being said, I know you love Arya. I do, too. She should have died that episode. There were so many times where, I mean, really, she's like, every 2 seconds, another building came on her.
She's a Jedi.
And then all of a sudden, her Uber horse was there to take her off.
Yeah, but I think Bran sent it to her.
But you know what? Then they should have had a little bit of, like, suspense.
But that was the last scene, though. It was just a beautiful scene. It was a beautiful scene.
But you don't need that. Have that at the beginning of the next episode. Have her just on the rubble, passed out. Is she alive? Is she dead? Have some suspense building to the next episode.
There's plenty of suspense for Sunday.
There's no suspense for next week.
Yeah, how many events is it going to take before Jon kills Daenerys? And then what happens after that?
He'll turn it over to Sansa. Sansa's going to be on the throne.
I don't know.
You know, it's...
Part of me doesn't even care at this point.
Yeah, but you know, like, how many shows, like, if you look at it, really ended on, like, a high note? Finales. Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad was good. I thought Cheers was good.
Cheers was good.
I thought The Office did a good job with its finale.
It did, but it dipped a lot.
The last two seasons were terrible because there was no Michael Scott, but the last three or four episodes of that show were really good. And then the way they ended it, I thought was fantastic.
That was good. But Breaking Bad was always good.
Like Parks and Rec ended well.
Yeah, that's it. And I know you don't watch Veep, but Veep ended great last week. That show was awesome. You got to watch that show.
I tried to. I didn't like it.
Oh, come on. Give it another chance.
I watch too much shit. Either I like it or I don't. You have like four or five episodes, and if I don't like it by then, I'm not going to.
What didn't you like about it?
I just didn't like it.
Okay.
I didn't laugh.
Really?
I don't know. It didn't grab me.
Okay.
I'd much rather watch Barry, which is one of the best shows on TV.
Yeah, I heard that. I'll have to get to that, too. I'm like... pretty far behind on a few shows, but
it's fantastic.
Yeah, but yeah. That being said, I don't know. Is it an hour and a half show? 2 hours on Sunday?
For Game of Thrones? I don't think it's at least 90 minutes. Yeah.
All right, so we'll see what happens. I mean, there's not really much suspense left. I mean, are we going back to Winterfell at all? I mean, who knows?
It's much like the Islanders off season right now. It's all speculation. I'm trying to bring it back somehow.
Right. Okay. So now we've got to. Dragon fire to a dumpster fire. I know this is an Islander podcast, but a lot of Islander fans.
But it's the off season, and there's nothing to talk about.
A lot of Islander fans, like
and
myself,
our bosses want us to put content out.
So right, exactly.
It's the best we can do right now.
Right,
it's the best we can do right now. Right. Sorry, folks.
And a lot of Islander fans, like myself, are also Jet fans, and it's pretty sad when the Islanders are probably the second most stable organization in New York behind the Yankees.
They really are.
It's
funny how quickly that happens.
Yeah, it's the Giants are a train wreck, the Knicks, whatever. I mean, the Nets, I guess, are okay, but...
The poor Knicks. I feel bad for Knicks fans.
Yeah, whatever. It's, you know, you make your bed. But the Jets, okay. I have no problem firing Mike Maccagnan, because he's...
But why don't you do it before the draft?
That's the point. You let this guy, first of all, spend over $100 million signing players... And then
I thought he did a pretty good job. I mean, I'm not a huge football fan, but everyone I've talked to, it seems like they've had a really good offseason.
They did. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, obviously the best running back on the market. That's probably what the rift was between Adam Gase and Maccagnan, the money. But you know what? If you're the head coach, who gives a crap how much you're spending on a player? Just bring the player in. He's a great security blanket for Sam Darnold.
It's football. You can cut a guy whenever you want.
You know, half the money's guaranteed. The contract wasn't too bad. They got one of the best defensive players on the market, C.J. Mosley. So, I mean...
It looks like they had a good draft.
Yeah, I mean, Anthony Barr, who actually was going to sign with the Jets, went back to Minnesota, but whatever. If you don't want to come, to hell with you. But... And then you let the guy draft, who...
Yeah.
His track record in the draft is not great. I mean,
no.
Got Darnold, Jamal Adams. Besides that, you know, Christian Hackenberg, I mean... Darren Lee. I mean, some of these guys are not great. They're not even with the team anymore. So
yeah, it's just weird. It's really weird.
Total dumpster fire. And then you have Woody Johnson, who he still owns the team, but he had, I guess, relinquished to his brother Chris. So because now he's the ambassador, I think, to United Kingdom.
I think that's correct, yeah.
Yeah, so now Chris Johnson, who basically pretty much like Scott Gordon.
Christopher Johnson.
Yeah, whatever. Call him Chris. is a total joke. Basically, 2 months ago saying how, and, you know, it's all the dreaded seal of approval, you know, but then he totally contradicted himself today saying, oh, I've been watching this deep dive of this organization for a while now and seeing issues and, you know, issues. And, but Adam Gase better be able to walk on water because this coach is a losing coach. And now he's like has the keys to this freaking ridiculous franchise.
Well, I mean, okay. his eyes will definitely be, he'll be able to focus, right?
Oh my
God. His eyes will be bugging out.
Yeah. I mean, this might be, I don't know if this is going to be a bold prediction, but I don't think he'll last this season. Because
it's bold. They're not going to be that bad. I don't know a ton about football, but they're not going to be that
I mean,
bad.
I projected.
That division's a train wreck.
No, it's not. So I mean, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it basically, you're fighting for second place.
Second place.
Which the is Bills six wins.
The Bills and the Dolphins are terrible. The
Dolphins are a joke. The Bills, and then the Jets. The Jets maybe could have gotten 8 wins this year, which that wouldn't have gotten them anything, really, because the Patriots can win basically 10 games this year, and they're going to win that division. But whatever. I mean, it's just the Jets. It's the, you know.
But who would have thought, if we take it back to the Islanders, because we are an Islanders podcast, yes. Who would have thought in the course of less than a year, or about a year, right? Well, yeah, about a year.
Yeah, about a year now.
Yeah, about a year, that this team would completely turn around its public image. It's no longer the laughing stock of New York or the league, and it's just suddenly become a stable, well-run organization professionally. Who would have thought that? When we watched that press conference last year with Ledecky, Snow, and Waite, you know, basically Dumb and Dumber, that was one of the most maddening press conferences we've ever seen. Who would have thought a year later this is where this team would be?
Yeah, I mean, just like the stars, you know, aligned, you know, first Lou and then Barry Trotz resigning. I mean, it was like a perfect storm.
It's one of those things where it just shows how important it is to be run from the top up. And if you're buttoned up from the top, it just trickles down throughout the organization. This organization is fine now. It's stable. And that's why I think the rest of the league sees that. Like, look, the national media is what they are. They don't follow the team very closely. They love taking their shots, especially the smug Ontario, the smug province of Ontario.
Right.
But the players see it. The players see the difference. You think Kucherov was saying that this team was easy to play against this year?
Oh, absolutely not.
Remember that famous quote? Like, you know, basically he said that, you know, there's...
Yeah, and someone said it on the Capitals too, right? Wasn't it Kuznetsov?
Yeah, it was Kuznetsov, yeah.
Yeah, he said it too. And
yeah,
no, like, and you even look at Bridgeport, how, you know, and you had people killing, you know, Brad Thompson for years now. Well, was it Brad Thompson, yeah. Right? The team, you bring in the right guys. You bring, like you said, from the top up. It's a well-run organization now. And unrestricted free agents look at that as well. That's part of the, you know, the 2%, you know, where the arena and all the other intangibles come. Is
a well-run organization. You know, one thing we didn't talk about quickly before we leave.
Sure.
This is going to be our last topic. Noah Dobson has a chance to win another Memorial Cup. And you know what? That's great. I hope the kid does win another one. He was named most outstanding player of his league,
right.
Which is the Q. And at the same time, though, doesn't he have to go back to juniors next year?
Well,
like, how can you ask a kid that could potentially win 2 straight Memorial Cups that he has to go back to juniors and can't play in the AHL? I hate that rule so much.
Yeah, that rule is terrible.
Because if he was in college or Europe or a free agent from Latvia, he could go play in the AHL. Like, Wallstrom is barely 18. He's barely 19 years old. Is he even 19 yet, Wallstrom? Is he still 18? I think he's still 18. And he played in the AHL this year, and it was fine.
Yeah, and he played well. I mean,
there should be an exception. Just like a 1 or 2 player exception per team, if that's what we want to do.
Yeah, or you know what? I mean, then compensate the junior team for it. You know what? If you're starting to give them some kind of, like, you know, exit fee or something like that for the player to leave as well. You know, something like that. But it's going to be interesting because they're going to give him a hard look if obviously they don't – if they lose Letty or something like that, and they keep kind of status quo.
If they trade Letty and they don't sign any other defensemen, I think it would be. I honestly think that roster spot will be between Aho and Dobson.
Yeah, and you can give. You know, obviously, you can start the season with Aho down if you had to.
Yeah, but I think whoever those two go win a spot. You know what I mean?
Right, and you can give Dobson the 9 games audition to see how he is, because who knows? I mean, you know, Barzal didn't get a great audition. There's 2 games. You know, obviously different. You know, people running the team back then, but
yeah, just slightly.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting, and you know, another guy too. Although he's probably a year behind Dobson, is Bodie Wild. Who I think,
but I believe Bodie Wild is eligible to play in Bridgeport next year.
Oh, then you know what? That's even better.
I think he already played his 3 years of juniors.
Nice.
I believe he's a year older. I believe when he got drafted, so I think he's eligible.
Right. So I mean, he's probably.
Don't quote me on that. We'd have to ask one of the guys, you know, one of our guys. But and actually, maybe I can ask research at work, but because that rule is just so convoluted. But I do believe he's eligible for Bridgeport.
Oh, great! I mean, that just it's another guy down there. It's maybe. That's also what Yannick Ratcliffe saw, too. Just another guy coming and just
crowded. The writing's on the wall, yeah.
Yeah, but all right, Dan, this was fun, and maybe we'll have a Thrones recap show next week as well.
We might have to, because I'm sure I'm going to be angry. And I have nothing angry right now to be mad. There's no reason to be mad at this franchise. So I really, all the years and all the days and all the episodes that we had of screaming about this team, there's nothing really to scream about yet. Now July 3rd comes and this is still the same roster, then that's a whole different story. But right now I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, I'll keep screaming about the Jets because that's just a train wreck. But all right, Dan, good one.
See ya.